welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
So, I know how everybody gets comfortable, you know, you feel comfortable. And I'm going to spoil that a little bit this morning because, well, first of all, I'd like children or young people to come and sit on these empty chairs on the front here. Okay, come and be a front row person. Children and young people. Yeah, that's good. Well done. Well done, you guys. All the way along to the middle. I seem to have reserved mine with a bag, but there's a couple here. Look, you could go next to the lovely Joanne or the other children. Any young people? Oh, there you are, prophetically. Elka is young. Looks like the church pastor's losing his seat. Never mind. Hallelujah. But then, and this is going to be even more annoying, if you're on the sides, sorry, there you were, nicely at the front as well and everything, I want you to try and fill in the gaps. All right? Fill in the gaps of any gaps that are left. If you're on the sides. And I know, but there you go. There's one still seat here, anybody that wants a seat. There you go, Corinne. Oh, Nathan, you're still a child. Karina, you were pipped at the post there. I'll tell you what, look, I'll move this bag off, Karina. You can have this one. I don't need it. Suck the anointing off the jacket. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I'm liking this front row. Woo! Now, come on. Move in. It's okay. It's fine. Look, spare seats there. Josh had a shower today. Look. And you, you're not immune, this is you as well. Have you go, that's it. Boom, gone, off you go, hop, hop, hop. Oh dear. Now there will be, for those of you that didn't want to move, you'll have all kinds of reasons for not moving. And those of you that were sitting with loads of space around you, think this is great because I forgot the deodorant this morning and no one's going to know. One of the things that was happening at Faith Camp, from whether you were this age or whether you were old like me or even older, is possible. There are people older than me. I know, it's hard to believe, isn't it, Fabian? But it is true. Was that, I don't know, it was kind of an odd camp. It was a really challenging one. The especially at the beginning of the week, the talks that were coming in were like, poof, 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 poof. They made you feel really uncomfortable. The circumstances that were around us were making you feel uncomfortable. I mean, we had some tremendous wind blowing across the unit. We lost, I think, 3 tents and 2 gazebos and a pink flamingo. Tent poles broken, you know, and this kind of, it was awkward, it was annoying, it was like, and yet God was doing something. So why did I do this to you this morning? Actually, to make you uncomfortable and feel a little bit annoyed. You might say I'm okay, but that's because you're still in the same seat. And there's another reason, because I want you to look on each side and see empty seats. And that's not right. We're not having it. And over here, there's a prophetic pile. No, not Peter. He's just happened to be there. Look. Look at all these seats not being sat in. They are ready to be filled with people. And I think part of the reason it was an uncomfortable camp, it was a challenging camp, because we need to be prepared to let ourselves be uncomfortable a bit. All right? Because with more people coming in, it will spoil it. Well, it will spoil the way you liked it that time, because you're going to have new people wearing different clothes. They will say things that wouldn't have been said before. But actually, this is a cause to rejoice. This means more people are getting saved. This means more people are coming into the kingdom. It's time for young people in your schools to be saved.
Yes.
You know God answers prayers. Your friend Timmy, you thought he was going to be on the other side of the unit. And even if you didn't pray it out loud, there was something going on in your heart and your friend Timmy got mysteriously moved to Unit 12, which was our unit. God doesn't just care about the small details, and with apologies to you, he cares about the small details of small boys. You're not that small anymore. You're like, but you know what I mean. You're smaller than me. I go, well, I was last time I measured. You come about there, so. There's all these kind of things going on. You'll end up, that person sitting where I normally sit. But it's amazing how small things can really get inside us. You know? Small things can get inside. There were things, at one point in the week, I thought, my goodness, I'm like stirred up. There's something going on. I almost didn't want to be there at one point. You know, I said, why am I here? I'll go home. It's like a tight feeling going on. And it was God going, you know, get uncomfortable, Paul Abel. You need a bit of challenge going on. If we're really going to change the world, if we're really going to change a town and a region, we're going to get uncomfortable. You know, this is an amazing bunch of people. You all suddenly seem much stronger and more powerful that you're all sitting together. It's quite scary. But there's still empty chairs. There's still people that should be in those chairs that are part of this. And there's that pile over there. Wouldn't it be great to go to the day where we have so many people, we have to have two services anyway? Because we can't get them all in one. You say, well, what happens if we don't see that? We keep praying. That one of the things I love that Karen Wheaton said, and it's so easy, it's so simple and so obvious, but it's like, it's got inside me. She said, how long do you pray for? You pray until. She was telling an amazing story. I'd recommend getting her talks from Faith Camp if you don't get any others. Although Andy Elms was good, particularly Andy Elms on the Friday night. He was at his height on Friday night. It was brilliant. I never expected to see, at the end of Faith Camp, on the stage, dancing and rejoicing, Clive. He's not a great dancer, let's face it, you know. He likes the thought of it and he encourages others, but you know. And then Jane. She kind of dances like this normally. No, she doesn't do that bit. But she was twirling around and dancing. And then you've got, on the main stage at Faith Camp, you've got Shona Ward dancing. You've got Kate Abel dancing on the main stage. You've got Paul Abel, but you're used to him flinging him around. The best bit with that was when Clive and myself and Pete all had guitars. We were all in a line, just playing the same thing. You know, I've never got to play guitar on main stage before. It was cool. Yeah. It was just fun. It was free. We had so much freedom that night. I have never, ever, I don't think, twirled Jane around in a sort of yee-haw. But we did that night. And then on to Clive. But I gave Pastor Colin the benefit of age. I have twirled Caroline around before, though. But anyway. So that it was absolutely fabulous that night, and it was a message of freedom. And we need to be free. We need to be free to sit anywhere. I love it when you guys are on the front row. Not because you're the church of tomorrow, you're the church now. We're in this together. You know, just for a minute, just to demonstrate this. Can everybody who, let's say, is under 13, could everybody who's under 13 just stand? If you're under 13. Excellent. Okay. And you might look it, but you're not. Okay. And everybody who's over 70, stand. I know that's a bit more embarrassing. If you're 70 or over, could you also stand? Right. No, no. Under 13, stand up as well. Now, the reason I did that is because we got from you guys to these guys. That's just stay standing because you're strong 70 pluses. There's no, you know, the world's terrible at saying, oh, you know, lying about age. Being old is fabulous. Being old in Christ is even more fabulous. These are the guys we honour and respect that they're going on with God, that they believe in Jesus into their older age. And not one of these people standing is like, oh, it doesn't matter, you know, I'm old now, let somebody else do it. They're all workers. Isn't that awesome? But the great thing is, we've got four generations roughly here from you guys to you guys, and all the generations in between. That's four generations of people contending for Scarborough and saying, this town belongs to Jesus. Woo! let's honor one another. These guys, you must honor these guys. They look quite different to you. They've grown up in a very different age, but they know what it's like. Believe it or not, Richard there, you know, all that white beard, he was once your age, Fabian. I know, it's like, really? It's not possible. He just appeared like that. Oh, thank you. Sit down. It's amazing. Do you know what? One of the great things about Faith Camp was there was about 25 people from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire working to make it happen. Way! People have got servant hearts. That's disproportionate to the size of our church. That's awesome. There were people just, and then there was another whole bunch of people that were just there, you know? And that's good too. I'm not saying that's any less, but it was just fabulous to have, I mean, Resolute. You almost did a takeover, Richard and Tila. There were so many people there in Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. It was good. Alex was leading some of the worship, wasn't he, from his bass guitar? So now I know he can do it. Oh, fabulous. Yeah, I think there were 7 or 8, I think, perhaps, just at Resolute. And then there was the Move happening. Dave Thomas preached at the Move, didn't he? Yeah, amazing. He's got one up on me. I've never done that. Awesome. But that's what we want. Actually, that's a good picture. There's somebody I disciple or mentor and love greatly who's done something that I've not done, and that's exactly what we want to be like. I want Fabian and Joshua and Sam and Cameron to go and do far more than I've ever done. It might be that you're doing far more in jobs that you actually want to do. You may not know what you want to do yet. Favourite films. Have you got a favourite film? A film that you like to watch or a favourite TV programme?
Ninjago.
What?
Ninjago.
Yeah, yes, I'm so out of date now. Once upon a time, I knew all children's programmes. What's it about? A ninja. Okay, cool. A ninja.
5 or 6. Sometimes 5, sometimes 6.
Okay. I'm going to go with ninja. What about you? This is when your mind just goes blank, isn't it? Oh my goodness, Pastor Paul's looking at me. A film that you like. Oh, yeah, you're going for the, yeah, good answer in church on a Sunday morning. You like that one? Wow, that's a good answer. God's Not Dead, that's a good film. Yeah, so we got ninjas, we got God's Not Dead. Give us a film. Don't know. Oh, I'll try Cameron, you must.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy, excellent, yeah. So have you seen the new one then? No. Ah. Okay, father like son, son like father. Who else have we got? Let's go over to here. Have you got a film you like? You must have a film you like. A video you like on YouTube. No, I mean, not that extreme. Sorry?
Box films?
No, Box Trolls.
Box Jaws?
Box Trolls.
Box Trolls. Another one I do not know. What do you like about that? You're not sure. I know it's hard, you know. It's so your brain just goes dead. Ron, have you got a favourite film?
Top Gun.
Top Gun. Okay. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. No, I can't do that. A lot of these films, Joshua likes the ninjas in that film, I bet, because they're cool and they get stuff done. You know, they don't lie around in bed going, or they're lying around in bed saying, my friend hurt me, or whatever. They do something. It'd be a pretty boring film if all they did was sit there. God's Not Dead. It's got people standing for Jesus. It's got something happening. Top Gun, you've got your heroes. You know, you've got people who are making a difference. And it tends to be that if you ask people about films, what was yours again? Oh, Guardians. Well, that's saving the galaxy. You don't get bigger than that, do you? You know, they're making a difference. We like those films. Why? Because there's something within all of us that know we're here on behalf of Him to see this world saved, to make a difference. We are the guardians of the galaxy. We may not look like a plant, even a big one or a new baby root one now, but we are here to save the galaxy. Some of you are in utter shock that I even know the name Root. Other news, I have no idea what I'm talking about. It's as mysterious to you as Box Trolls was to me. There's always heroes in the film. But the thing is, you are the heroes. Guardians of the Galaxy are a right reprobate group. And I wouldn't actually say they were a brilliant example to follow. But at least they're making a difference. Even if they want to be paid for it. But that's another... And that's in these people here. That's in this group. I'm just going to get some people up, hopefully in a minute, that will tell you something about what God did at Faith Camp in them. But it was one of those camps. I don't know what it was like in Power Pack, you know. And it was like God reminded me that I wasn't just there to be on holiday, but I was there to meet with Him and be changed by Him. Faith Camp is a holiday, and we had the totally tropical Scarbados afternoon on the Sunday. We had a lot of fun with that. And there are pictures on Facebook of me in a grass skirt, but we won't go there. It kind of suited me. But no, it didn't. Really? Oh, okay, I don't get to wear it anymore. We had great fun in that, and there's a lot of fun and a lot going on. But then God was coming in, and there was sort of, you know, things going on. And it was like, and then God took us through. I mean, and then Karen came in. I mean, she's a short lady, but she's powerful. I had to play the role of a boy at one point. Very hairy. I don't think, because your beard's not growing very well, actually. And it was because she was talking about her daughter had gone away from a marriage and gone away from church. And it was a whole story of a brilliant story, very worth listening to, of her coming back over 2 to 3 years. And that was where this praying and praying and praying until. And she was very honest, because there were just days where, well, days, months, weeks, where she didn't feel anything. And she said God was amazing to her, because He'd give her a word and it would like, yeah, I've got a word to stand on. And by lunchtime, she was back down in that place of she's not with her husband and she's in a bad place. And she's not. But that's what prayer that really counts is like that. You know, when you're praying and you even like, I don't know if I even believe, but I'm praying until. Because the fact that you keep going is the sign that you do. You might feel terrible. I don't know why I pointed at you. I'm sure you're feeling lovely. It says, be a nice human on your t-shirt. That's a good thing. I might want to just run around and play with a hoop. But there's still something within that's stirring all of us to see these chairs filled, not because we want a room full of people sitting down listening to talks, but because we want a people who are like the Guardians of the Galaxy. They're like the ninjas. They're like the people in the film God's Not Dead. They're like the Top Gun heroes. They are wanting to see a difference. They're wanting to make change. And we are those people. Amen. You know, it isn't about seeing people on here. It's about seeing people on here, yes, but so we go together, walk together, so that these chairs are all being used every Sunday. So that the office, I don't know what we're going to do. It gets shrunk into the corner, even though it's so useful now, the storage and stuff we have over there. You know, we kind of need it. But it will go, because there won't be room. Are we believing for that? All we're saying is we want to see people saved. Excellent. I like your yes. We are. But it's us together. That's why I wanted us to be sort of sitting different and feeling like we're together, and also seeing, oh my goodness, those chairs need to be full. I mean, this church has probably got 150 people on it, but there's 60,000 people live in the core of Scarborough and 120,000 in our borough. That's a lot of people. You know, welcome to Lee's Church up by the university, the new one star. Any guys that are coming in to do the harvest, absolutely. Praise God. Wonderful. A couple of people that have left here and gone to be there, go, be blessed. Don't feel you've got to sneak out the door. If that's where God's called you, go. Honestly, don't sit in a place where God's not called you. Be where God's called you. Isn't that true? If we preached that and ended up with 10 people, well, praise God. That would be a challenge, but praise God. You want the people, and you need to be where God's called you to be. That's why it's exciting when we send people out to other places and other countries and other towns and other villages, when God's called them to go. Not just because they felt like a new job. We're different. If God calls you, I want you to get a job down in Birmingham. I want you to be working in Birmingham. You do it. If you feel like, I'd like a change, I'd really like to live in Manchester, that's not a good thing to do. Stay with God's plan. So, I just want to finish my bit before we have some testimonies or some stories or just a sentence of people that got at Faith Camp. I mean, all those people working at Faith Camp, all those people not working at Faith Camp, but what was also as amazing was you got Ron and Deborah and all the people making it happen here on Sunday too. What a fabulous church. You know, I could probably go on a 6-month sabbatical. If the Lord said, it'd be fine. People would raise up. People would preach. It would happen. Don't worry. So then, the verse starts. It's 2 Corinthians, Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. So then. So then. So then, women of God. So then, mighty women of God. So then. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. How many people in this room know Jesus Christ and have received him as Lord? Yeah, I thought it'd be like that. Wow, fabulous. So, just as you received him, continue. That's a very important word. Continue. It's a decision. Continue to grow in him. You don't become a Christian and get a badge. Even when you get baptized, it's not like I'm a baptized, born again Christian, I got the badge. It's nothing like that. It's growth. It's growing. It's a seed that's planted. It's a plant that grows and develops, and God even prunes and cuts back. It's like you guys. You will one day look like Richard. You're going to grow. Your hair will go white and your beard will grow long. Unless you shave. The fashion will have changed by then. But so then, just as you receive Christ as Lord, continue to grow in him. You've got to do something about it. Growth means you've got to water it. Growth means you've got to feed it. You've got to be in situations where you're being watered. That's the Holy Spirit being poured out upon you. Sunday mornings, it is genuinely essential. In a Christian walk, people that try to pretend otherwise, it's rubbish. You've got to be with a community so that you can be watered together. It's not about little plants on their own. We're an orchard. We're a forest of people. We are together. And you've got to be together at those key times. Home church. And Thursday nights, that's not really compulsory, but these times are all important as well as our ordinary walk with God. Continue to grow. Be rooted in him. How do you get rooted in Jesus? You've got to know what the Bible says. Watching films like God is Dead is a great plan, but you can't just watch stuff. You can't just watch Joyce Meyer and think I'll be a marvelous Christian. You've got to take the word and you've got to do something about it. But God is doing something about it. We are those people. That's what's so exciting. Continue to grow. Be established, it says. You've got to know that word. You've got to be reading that word. There isn't really any other way of doing it. You've got to be under good preaching, yes, but if you just listen to preaching, it will actually, you'll end up in deception if it doesn't make any difference in your life. Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to grow in him, being established and strengthened in your faith. Strengthening comes from being together. We speak the truth to one another. We preach the truth to one another. We play with hoops together. No, can't I have it? And finally, on the end of that verse, something that's so important. Do you want to grow?
Yes.
Do you want to be healthy?
Yes.
Do you want to overcome the negative circumstances, the negative things people might say to you? Do you want to overcome? Because the end of that verse really, 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 really underscores how to do that. Do you want to know what it says? And overflowing with gratitude or overflowing with thankfulness. If you want your life to change, if you want to come out of illness, if you want to come out of depression, if you want to come out of bad circumstances, if you want to come out of having a bad time, if you want to come out of mental health issues, if you want to come out of even physical health issues, if you want to get your faith back in God so it's alive and vibrant, you have to cultivate an attitude of gratitude in your life, even when you don't feel like it. You have to practice saying, thank you, God. The world will ridicule you for thanking Jesus. They say, it's nothing to do with Jesus. You have an operation in a hospital and you say, praise God, thank you, Jesus, I am well. And they'll say, well, it was the skill of the surgeon. God gave the surgeon. God enabled the learning. God enabled you. I praise God that when I was 14, the skill of the surgeons in my open heart surgery saved my life. I wasn't supposed to live beyond 20, according to doctors. So that operation was miraculous for me. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I've had another 33 years of life ever since then. And I'm hoping and I'm planning and I'm praying for a lot more.
Amen.
But we've got to keep praying until an attitude of gratitude, thankfulness. And sometimes we don't feel like being thankful. Particularly if things have gone wrong. You know, or things haven't worked out. I mean, your tent blew down, broken, rubbish. And you have to go and buy a new tent in the middle of faith camp. Others have got broken tent poles. You know, these are things that don't automatically say, oh, thank you, Jesus, I've got to buy a new tent and spend all that money. But on the other hand, the tent they got now, it's a really nice tent and you got it at a really good price. So you're thanking God for the change in circumstances. Overflowing with thankfulness. The next verse, verse 8 says, see to it, see to it, see to it. Make sure, see to it, make sure, see to it. It's a very emphatic word. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depend on the principles of this world and other spiritual forces rather than on Christ. See to it. There's a responsibility. See to it that the way you are doesn't take you away from God. See to it that the way your children are behaving doesn't take you away from God. See to it that your wife and the way she is doesn't take you away from God. See to it that your husband doesn't take you away from God. See to it that the friends that you are around you are not going to take you away from God. See to it that if you're with friends at the pub or wherever, that there's not things in that's around you that takes you away from God. Because it will unless you see to it. See to it that no one takes you, and I love it, captive. If you start to believe everything that's in the news, if you start to believe everything you read on Facebook, you are literally taken captive. Your freedom will be restricted and taken away from you. If you believe what goes on in your head even sometimes, you can end up captive if it's not in Christ, if it's not of God. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive teachings, philosophy that depend on the worldly principles. It can be very wise, you see. The wisdom of the world can be extremely wise. It can be extremely thought through. Sometimes people feel that we've just got to ridicule and pull apart people like Charles Darwin, Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens. They're clever people. They are wise in worldly terms. It's just that God's wisdom trumps the lot. We don't need to ridicule and put down people that come against us. We just need to lift them up and be thankful that God has opened our eyes. Cultivate an attitude of gratitude and make sure, see to it, that no one takes you captive through stuff which depends on the principles of the world and in many translations and the worldly and spiritual forces that are in the world, because they're out there as well. They like to capitalize on our negative attitudes. That's why an attitude of gratitude protects you from demonic attack. A bad attitude opens you up to the enemy. If you walk around with a bad attitude, the enemy has a door into your life and to the life of your family, which is hardly fair on the kids, but it's true. So you need that attitude of gratitude to be thanking God. You might have lots of reasons not to thank God. You might be looking at your debt. You might be looking at your health. You might be looking at your life and say, it's in a mess. Well, if you want it changed, you start with thankfulness for what you do have. I thank you, God, I live in Scarborough. It's an amazing town. I'm surrounded by beautiful beaches and beautiful scenery and beautiful people. Thank you, Jesus. You can start with something and you go from there. Thank you, Lord, that I've got clothes to put on today. There are people in the world that do not. Thank you that I will have food for today. There are people in the world that will not. Thank you, Lord, that I have got friends and family that will support me and help me. Because if you're part of this, you have. Because there are people that don't. And sometimes it's just cultivating that attitude of gratitude again. Even when there are people in the group that are around you, maybe sitting a bit too close to you at the moment, who make you feel a little bit awkward or you don't know them very well, we still start with an attitude of gratitude. If there's someone that really annoys you, you start thanking God for that, because what's happening is God's showing something in you. If you're in a bad mood, you thank God for being in a bad mood and you say, God, why am I in a bad mood? What are you showing me about me? You see, there's a point when whatever's happened to you, however horrible someone's been to you, however insulting someone's been to you, however bad the circumstances are, there's a point when you move beyond that and you thank God for the way you are and the way you're reacting, because he's showing something within you so that you can be free of it. Because God's not irritated by anyone. God's not annoyed with any circumstances. And we are hidden in Christ. The next verse after the one about philosophies says, for in Christ dwells the fullness of the deity. In Christ was the fullness of God. But then the amazing thing it then says is, and Christ lives in you. So the fullness of God is in you. The fullness of God is in every single person in this room that has received Jesus as Lord to be completely and utterly changed. But it is about growth. I play games. I'm a bit of a gamer. Not computer games, but really, but board games and stuff like that. Something that pardon me. A regular feature of a lot of games is especially computer games, is kind of called leveling up. You know, you get more and more powerful in the game to enable you to reach the end point. And actually, it's a good analogy of what life is like. We go through periods of life that enable us to level up. And actually, the easy times are not very good at that. It's the hard times that level us up. And Faith Camp, I think, for many of us, was a bit of a leveling up. Amen? Right. I'd like to just invite... I haven't picked on anybody specifically, but any of you that were at camp, just to come and just say a couple of words, you know, about... Georgie, you could tell about what you were telling me as I came in here. That was great. Or anything else like that. Anybody that's just got a short story to come and just quickly share before we finish. Would that be okay? Oh, thank you. That's brilliant. Well, I'm overwhelmed. Thank you, Alka. You and me together, we will change the world.
Oh, definitely. There you go. Good morning. I had an amazing camp, really, and it was very interesting. The first couple of days when we were in the worship and when the preaching was going on, my mind kind of like seemed to wander, and I was just wondering, what is distracting me here? My mind is just wandering. But then after a couple of days, I kind of like realized my mind is always wandering in the same direction. And suddenly I thought, hang on, maybe my mind is not wandering. Maybe God is talking to me. And I was like, okay. Okay, you're talking to me. That's great. And you know, God was just talking to me about things he's taught me in the past about promises and things which are happening in my life. So, and out of that, kind of like what he was telling me, it was just something, you know, for me, like my next step where I'm going to. And two things out of that... I can see them already kind of like shaping up during this year. So I'm very, very excited about that. And then also, I really, really enjoyed the talks of Karen Wheaton, especially when she was talking about prayer, especially when she was talking about until and kind of like being like a mother. You look at your children and I don't know if worry is the right word, but you kind of like wonder, you know, are they following God properly? You know, what are they going to do with their lives? So it was really, really encouraging for me, just like as a mum, you know, to pray until and just to see, you know, my children blossom, see my children walk with God, see my children, you know, become the men of God they are meant to be becoming. So it was all very exciting. And then one other thing I very quickly want to share. There was one thing Andy Elms was mentioning on one of the talks, and he was talking about, you know, when we go to prayer meetings and, you know, sometimes we just do like shabba-da-ba-da-ba-da, whatever, you know, pray in tongues, but we are not really with it. And he said, like, no, what you want to do is you want to get excited about it. You want to set, you want to get into it and just, this is actually the Spirit praying in me and through me, you know, and you really want to engage with that and you know, really get behind it. And that was something which really, really got me, because a lot of times in the car, I'm just, you know, praying in tongues and probably thinking about something else. And I was just thinking, no, it's the Spirit, you know, the Spirit of God who's in me.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like coming directly from God, going to God, you know, it's exciting stuff. I really, really want to engage with that. So that was just for me.
Thank you. It's brilliant. That's the growth, you see, growing and the sea to it. I mean, Alka, you've been a Christian for a long time and you've been to a lot of faith camps. And you can sort of go, oh, well, I won't get much this year. Or you can see to it. Or you can make that decision. You know, and that's what you did. I mean, you two sitting there next to each other and myself and a couple of others, we also did those 8 o'clocks, wasn't it? And there were so many people, between 300 and 400 people came to those 8 o'clocks. And we were getting so much feedback on how much people were getting from that worship. And it just reminds you what we have, because it was very simple. We had 2 battery speakers, a keyboard and a guitar. Oh, and your saxophone. But it was very, very low key. You know, more people than are present here on Sundays, and yet virtually no PA. But that wasn't what was important. It was just the people that came to worship God, and it was brilliant. But it also just reminded me, again, how privileged we are. Because these are people from good churches that are coming and saying, I wish our church could worship like this. And you know, it was just normal, really, for us. Georgie, I'm coming back your direction, don't worry. Is this to do with what you were telling me about earlier? Okay, so tell us what you've got to tell us.
I got soap on my arms and legs and it started burning. Tried to wash it off, but it didn't work. And then we prayed to God and it was completely gone.
Oh, man. Because the soap sort of sparked your eczema, wasn't it? So it wasn't just that, you know, a bit of soap. This was an eczema and very sore, wasn't it? And then you prayed and you were healed. Amen. Thanks God. Martin,
God's been talking to me at Faith Camp about fear, and this is probably the scariest thing in my life. So taking this off you then was hard, but God doesn't give me fear. God commanded me not to be afraid. And that's what I got through Faith Camp, that He is bigger than all my problems. He's bigger than all your problems. And you just give it to Him. It's nothing to Him. You just let
Amen.
It go.
Amen. Oh. As soon as I saw him standing there and then taking the microphone off, I was like, he's taking it. God's done something in him. See, you might have been at Faith Camp and sitting there with it, I'm not really sure God did anything in me. But the truth will still be that God did. You may not know it yet, you may not appreciate it yet, but it was an opportunity to learn and move forward. And God will show you. We're a family, we love one another. Doesn't matter what sort of Faith Camp you had. These are just some good points. So, gentlemen,
we played a football match and lost it 3-0, and it should have actually been 1-1.
The overcoming of difficult circumstances. Sam, were you going to add anything, or was that your story as well?
He told the whole story.
Okay. Have you got more?
I scored our goal.
No, okay. Over here. Lauren.
Hello.
So.
Yes, first Faith Camp. It's wonderful.
Oh, yeah, your first one.
Oh, wow. Woo. Nice. Other camps are available, yeah. By the way. Diplomatic there. Yeah, I really found the Wednesday morning talk absolutely fascinating. It was about how Jesus lived and preached as a Jewish leader. And some people were thinking it's just like Jesus was Jewish, and then it was just, so it was like a phase. That's how the guy said it was a phase. But no, he lived and taught as a Jewish leader, and just found that absolutely fascinating, a new way to see Jesus. And I also got on the last night a word for my dad, who's for years he's been struggling with various things, and things that are holding him back from worship. It's just like, no, the chains are broken over your life.
Amen.
You will be set free.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
How long will you pray for that?
Not very much. It's just something.
Going forward, how long will you pray?
Until.
Until it happens. Yeah, until. Absolutely. Trapped you there.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, other faith camps are available, but this is the only one we do together.
Praise God.
Come on, then.
Okay.
Wonderful lady.
Had a wonderful,
she's
wonderful
got an iPhone
time.
And everything. Oh, no, it's okay. A Samsung.
Yeah, there's information. Right. Okay, so what I got from faith camp was how awesome God is. Because sometimes as we go through life with him, it becomes with you all the time, and you forget how awesome he is. So that was a big message that I got. Anyway, so there I was in worship. Praise you, Lord. And everybody's worshiping, and I've got this beautiful gift of sight. I don't see everything. I see what God wants to give me at that time, okay? So I'm looking up. Remember how awesome and big our God is. That's what it was about this week. Yeah, that was a big, big message. So I'm looking up, and I can see, as everybody's worshiping, I look up, and I see his eye. Now, this is an arena with 3,000 people in it, and I see his eye filling it. But as they're worshiping, he's dancing, he's moving and dancing. But every now and again, he would look at somebody. And I knew, because God gives you that, yeah? When you see, he gives you a knowing. And I knew that he was sorting somebody in that person. And then he'd move again and somebody else was being sorted. And then it was just awesome. And then I'm looking and I'm in awe of him. But then it went quiet and we went into the Holy of Holies. I didn't see the Father, but I felt his presence. And I'm there and I'm like, everybody's like that. And I'm like, do you know, I know I can go prostrate. I know I can put my arms up. But how do I worship you? Wow. And this is what you showed me. I saw an angel from the side. I saw it land. I never saw its face because it's not about the angel. It's about what he wants from us. Now, this angel was different to anything I've ever seen or ever thought I'd seen. Not seen, but in books. It wasn't a fluffy white gold angel. It was copper. Copper. And it was lean, with sandals, like a Roman sandal, but it looked like it was part of its skin because it was all the same colour. Okay. So I'm looking, and it landed. I'm not gonna do it. I'm just going to a little bit, right? So it was like one leg behind the other. Sorry. And then it went about, and its head went right down, and its arms come right up, like that. So on that note, I'm thinking, wow, awesome, Lord. If I was 20, I might be able to do that, you know? But hey, yeah. So then he says, well, Andrea, he says, look at the colour, copper. Okay. So I did look at the colour, copper.
Colour. So she was having these amazing spiritual experiences and nothing went wrong at all, did it?
No, not well. Not with God. It was hard. Camping was hard. Okay, so the colour of copper. Okay. Adaptive. Warm. Malleable. Remember, I'm asking him, how should I worship? How can I worship you? Again, adaptive, warmth, malleable. Now, I don't know whether you all know what malleable means, but it means you can mold easily. Okay. Then it says, determined, diplomacy, accomplished. That's what he wants from me.
Amen.
To run this race and go there wanting an award at the end of it, you know? Okay. Charming, beauty and artistic. And there's more. Receptive, conduct, connectable. And I thought, you know, Lord, when you give a message, you don't just do it, you do it so deep, everything. You always give so many meanings to your message. And so now, this year, I'm going to be coming for prayer a lot. But when I go back next year, I want to be kneeling, like that, by the way, I'm going to practice on that one. But I want to go there wanting an award. So I'm going to run this race this year more than I've ever done. I want to please my Father, and I want an award, because I'm going to give him my best. And that's what I got from Faith Camp.
Amen. Woo. Bev. Your first faith camp.
First one.
Yeah. Okay, tell us then.
Right, I'm not going to lie. At the beginning of the week, it was really hard. I really thought I was going to go home, and then I had to speak to Adrian to keep me there. Thank you for that. But me and Andrew went and had a prayer room, and we decided we'd take it in turns to pray. But we thought there'd be somebody there to pray with us in this prayer room, and we didn't realise that we had a personal meeting with God. Yeah. We were waiting for a pastor, and we got in there, and we sang some worship, and then we said a prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and then we took it in turns to pray for individual people. And we've been in there about half an hour, and we were like running out of things to pray for. And then all of a sudden, we just went, "Please, Lord, help us pray for people." We felt God there in the room with us then immediately, and instantly we was like firing prayers that were too fast for us to even speak. They were like boom, 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 one, boom, boom, that God was telling us to pray out loud. And it was just, the presence of the Lord was just so immense. I cannot tell you, I've never been so overpowered by that.
And it was just the two of you in this prayer room.
Just the two of us in the prayer room. We did expect, we thought there'd be somebody there and we'd all pray together. We didn't realise it would just be us. So, and then on the Thursday night, because I've been struggling all week, I did have a little private prayer with Jesus. And I've never seen him. I've only ever felt the Lord. I've not been a Christian for even a year yet. So I'm a baby Christian. But I actually saw Jesus on the Thursday night. I actually showed himself to me. And I also saw the Holy Spirit coming across the whole of the arena and coming down. And I've never felt such power in all my life. That was absolutely awesome.
It's important. Well. No face, but shroud, sorry.
You've had your turn.
Yeah, Jesus had the shroud around his neck and had his arms open to me like that when I saw him, but I didn't see his face. But yes, definitely Jesus. So that was my experience, and I can't wait for next year.
If you'd given up and gone home because it was hard, you'd have missed
that. Was my blessing for staying. Wow. I know exactly what it was. And then nearly went, I've been eaten by mosquitoes for dinner, lunch, supper, snacks, midnight snacks, and 4 o'clock.
Don't mention the mosquitoes.
But apart from that, it was amazing.
Fabulous. Thank you. Praise God. Have you got some more, Sam?
I tackled the biggest boy in the stadium, and I got the ball off him.
Oh, okay. Your guys and their football. Richard or Tila, have you got anything you could say about Resolute? It'd be lovely to hear something from the children's stuff.
So in Resolute, we were having the most awesome time of God for the whole week.
So Resolute, because there'll be people here that won't know what that is.
So Resolute is 11 to 13.
Right.
So it's a really difficult age group. Because you've got sort of, some of them are 10 as well, so you've got sort of 10 and 11 year olds, but then you've got kids who are coming up to sort of the youth at 13, 14. But what God was really talking to everybody about in Resolute throughout the week was who we are and where we're going. And it was like he was saying, who are you and what are you doing? Or who are you and where are you going? What are you doing for God? And what are his plans on your life? But the big thing for me, personally, I mean, throughout the week, that was what God was saying to everybody. But for me personally, on the last night, we had a prayer meeting, and I was leading this prayer meeting. And God just took it in a totally different direction to what I was thinking, which is what he does often. But he said to us to think of a name that God's got for every single person in Resolute. So we went through the whole register in our little groups, and we came up with we asked for a name from God for those people, like Loved or Healer, or it could be Joy or things like that. And I had no idea what was going to happen in the main meeting, because in the main meeting, what Sarah Waterman, the word that God brought through her was about hearing from God. And so we spent time in little groups with the kids, hearing from God, hearing words from God, what God calls them, what things like what games he wants them to play, what he's called them to be. So it was like God had prepared all the leaders for that specific moment. I had no idea that Sarah was going to do that. So it was really, it was just great to see God moving that awesome way. It was fantastic. Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. Thanks, Bishop. Awesome. I think really what we need to finish, I mean, wow, that's 25 minutes worth of testimonies. I wasn't expecting that. So that's awesome, isn't it? And but we will keep shorter on other Sundays. But I want to say one thing at the end, because one thing stood out as prophetic there for me of all the things that were said, and that's what Bev said. I think she was touching into something really that God has for us, similar to what Richard was saying with being led in prayer. But we're going into a season where God is going to be leading us into prayer. Okay? And that's whether it's corporately in house churches or the ministries that we're involved with, or and whatever you're involved with, be thinking about what do we do with prayer in this? You know, we need to bring prayer into everything that we're doing. I'm not talking about you've got to meet with God for 2 hours before you do something every time. It might be just, let's just take 5 minutes where we give what we've got to do today to the Lord. It might just be that. It will be in between that, because we're going into a season of prayer. We'll pick it up a lot more in September, but even in August, especially as individuals, obviously we don't do much corporate stuff in August. Let's be in prayer. And we're praying until these chairs are filled, those chairs are filled, our finances are overflowing, that people are being saved every week. Are you in agreement with that? We're going to keep praying until, praying until, praying until, praying until. I think that's the key word. And it's very important, I think, that it's significant that you two wonderful ladies were in that prayer house and they were the only two there. They said, oh, we were waiting for the pastor. We need to stop waiting for the pastor. We need to stop waiting for the leader. We need to stop waiting for the supposed anointed man of God or woman of God and get on with it, each one of us ourselves. We can all do it. Bev, she says, I'm a baby Christian. She's grown more in 1 year than many people grow in a lifetime in churches. This is a hot house of growth. And you can run with it. Tony could lead a prayer meeting. He knows enough. He's only been a Christian a short time. I could ask him to come up here and leading it, and he would depend on God and it would happen. But we're all like that. He's looking a little bit doubtful. But it would, mate. If you said, okay, I'll do that, you would be able to, because God just rewards obedience and boldness and bravery. And we don't need to wait for leaders. Even if you are a leader, don't wait for any other leaders. Hallelujah. Children, we kept you for a lot more than I expected. So thank you for being mostly involved. That was awesome, because we're in this together, from that group to the 70-year-old pluses that all stood up. We're in this together. We're going to see this town changed. We're going to see this county changed. We're going to see Jesus glorified in our nation, and we'll keep praying until that happens. And we will be where God has called us to be, regardless of what's going on, regardless of what's happening. We'll cultivate that attitude of gratitude, and we'll keep praying until we see change. That's what God's doing with us. That's what's going to happen. And we'll keep you in touch with how we'll develop the prayer in September as well, with days of favour and what God's going to do there. All right, I won't do that this morning because we'll go on even longer. Go and grab your coffee if you're having a coffee, a cup of tea, chat around. And big thanks to everybody that made Faith Camp happen, and big thanks to everybody that made last Sunday happen here, and big thanks to all those that kept everything running while we were away. Be blessed. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.